Welcome to Legacy City Church. We are happy you're here this morning, and you've come on this Sunday to worship and to celebrate our salvation, celebrate what the Lord has done for us. That's what I'm here to do as well, is to worship and celebrate and bless the Lord for the gift of salvation. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and while I will quote many passages this morning, this will be the main text that I just want you to see with your own eyes. Colossians chapter 3, we won't get there for a little while, but I've titled the message, I'll See You Soon. I'll See You Soon. James chapter 4, verse 14 says this, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. Last Sunday, it's really an amazing Sunday. Last Sunday, both of my brothers were here on stage with me, helping lead worship. We were celebrating our God and our salvation. And my brother Jacob was playing keys. And he's now in heaven. And he's been in heaven for 5 days now. And we're very sad. I never thought in a million years that last Sunday would be the last time I'd see him on earth. I thought last Sunday was the beginning of seeing my brothers come and help with worship for many years to come. And this scripture has been my comfort. It is Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26. It says, who have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I want to thank everybody for coming this morning. I'm sorry if you're just visiting here for the first time and wondering, like, what are we talking about today? This is real in my life today, and so I say, why should I hide this from the people? This is real. And we should partake in this together, and we worship together, we rejoice together, and we mourn together as well. I want to let you know that I'm not mad at God. I'm very sad. But I'm not mad. I love God, and I will pursue him more than ever before. Because he is the one who now holds my brother and the rest of my family in heaven. And God gave me the blessing of last Sunday. I don't know if you know, but I had we kind of had worship together last week a little bit. And as Ben was just singing and leading us in song, and Jared and the team, and one of the guys wasn't able to be here. It was planned for a birthday weekend, which is absolutely appropriate and necessary. And so they went off on the birthday weekend, and it's weird how that just fell into place, because then I found myself on Friday trying to figure out who's going to play worship this weekend. And I'm just goofing off, texting with my brother who lives in Vegas, Jesse, and he leads at a church out there, about a couple thousand people, and he says, man, I'd love to come play. I'll come help out. I'm like, no, Jess, you live in Nevada, dude. You're not driving out right now. He's like, yeah, I am. I want to come help. I'm going to be there. I'm coming. And so he makes a decision to drive 3.5-4 hours just to come out here and to play on Sunday for us. And then he calls up my brother Jacob, who lives in San Diego, and he says, Jake, why don't you come out and play keys? And Jake's like, all right, let me see if I can pull it off. And so before you know it, never would have thought in a million years that my brother who lives in Vegas, my brother who lives in San Diego would be here on the stage last Sunday. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord knew that my brother would be in heaven on Tuesday. And the Lord somehow divinely orchestrates for us to be able to worship and serve the Lord with our giftings together. And the cherry on the top of this cupcake is not that my brothers and I would lead together in a church, because I've always wanted to do that as well, but for all of us to be on stage. But for the Lord to allow it at this time where we would be able to play together at the church that I just got to plant 5 weeks ago. And my brothers more than ever would want to serve here at this place. And so that was a gift from God. I'm very thankful. I tell this story because it's real and it's happening and it's alive, and we the church need to know how to process these things. I titled this message, I'll See You Soon, because my eyes have been opened to see how short life is and how valuable minutes and seconds are. It makes me ask the question, what am I here for? What is the purpose in all of this? My brother is now in heaven, and I will see him soon. And so what am I supposed to be doing now here on earth before I vacation in heaven forever? Oh yes, I remember. I'm here on earth for a moment to love God, to love and serve people and show them the gospel, to bring others close to God, to love my family and bring them close to God. And then when that moment on earth is over, I get to enjoy my God and his people, and things will be made right. I will see my brother again soon. It sets everything in order very quickly when someone goes to heaven close to you. Someone that close. Psalm 39:5 says, you have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Family, how long is 80, 90 years compared to eternity? Like, just think it through. Come on. Like, how long is it really compared to eternity? Let's just say 80 years here. How long is eternity? Eternity is like 1,000 times 10,000 years times 1,000,000 years times 10 million years times 100 million years times 1,000,000,000 years times 100 billion years times 1,000,000,000,000 years times 100 trillion years times 1,000,000,000,000,000 years. And that's the beginning to eternity, right? Because eternity is forever. And we get this little dash that goes on a tombstone between two dates. It really is a little dash, isn't it? It goes by so fast. And you don't have much time. And so what are you supposed to be doing? I got to pay the rent. That's what I got to be doing. No. Well, I got to do that. You know, I got this to take. No. There is one focus. There is one vision. There is one mission for us. And that is to bring God glory. That is to build his kingdom. My brother Jacob got 29 years. Jake would have been 30 right here this next month in November. I may only have 33 years, 40, 50 years. No one knows the day or the hour when they will be in eternity. God knows. God holds our days in his hands. And I rest in this truth that every person is born the day God would have them to be born, and that they will pass into eternity the day that God would have them. That's it. And so this is what brings my heart rest, knowing that even in all of my questions, in all of the whys and not understanding, I rest in the fact that God would set the day my brother is born, and God would set the day that he will be in heaven, and I can't argue with that. I have to be okay with that. I want to argue for sure. But we trust that God is so much smarter than me, so much wiser than me, and he's so much better than me, that's for sure. He is good and perfect to the core. He knows what he's doing. As my brother Jesse read at the memorial service yesterday, Job chapter 1, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. He says, the Lord gave, Job was speaking of his own family. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we will continue to worship our God and bless him, no matter what he takes away from my life. If he takes away all the money for good reason, if he takes away the health for good reason, if he takes away, as Jesus would say on the cross, the connection between him and his Father for a moment so that millions of people can be saved, he'd say, not my will, but yours be done. I want what you want, God. What you want is better, even when I don't understand you. I don't understand what you're doing. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, or it is better to go to a funeral than to go to a party. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Death sobers us, doesn't it? It's a reality that none of us want to look at and come in contact with. Isn't that amazing? It's really not amazing. That's probably not the right word, but it really does trouble me and overwhelm me when I step back and see how much death affects everyone all the time. Like, it doesn't matter. I do memorial services. We do them all the time, and I weep with families and try to help them through things and all this, and then I come in contact, and it just completely messes up everything. I'm telling you, there's something wrong in the world. Something really messed up in our world, and it's called sin. And the wages of sin, because we've done wrong, is death. And it haunts every one of us. It comes after us, and no one can get away from it except for one, Jesus. He was the only one to actually escape and raise from the dead. No one on earth has ever done it. And because he has done that, he promises his people, those who follow after them and believe in his message, that they will rise from the dead one day as well. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain hearts of wisdom. Church, young people especially, please, number your days. Think like an old person. I kept telling my cousin that this last week, and she's like, why do you keep saying that? I'm like, think like an old person. Why? I don't want to be. No, listen. Think as if you will when you are 80 or 90 or 100, whenever the Lord is, whenever you grow old and you start looking back at life. Think like an old person, like from this perspective, because if you think from that perspective, you will start thinking about what you wish you would have done or could have done and wanted to do and wanted to accomplish. And if you'll think that way now, project and look into your future, what you want to do with your life, how you want to use it for God's glory. You make the decision now. Number your days and let each one of them bring glory to God. That's the perspective we need to have. Have you ever asked this question? Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want? What do you want me to do with my life? I give you all of my life. Everything that I have is yours. These clothes are yours, Lord. The money that I have in my bank account is yours. My time is yours. My giftings, you gave them to me, and I give them to you. Whatever you want, my whole life is yours. That's a hard statement, isn't it? Because we like to say, actually, a lot of the Christian church may declare that, but we don't exactly live that. We say, Lord, my life's yours, but I got some stuff over here that I want to do, so don't get in my stuff. I got some plans and things that I want to accomplish, and Lord, don't mess it up, all right? Don't you dare, but I give you my life. When we surrender our lives to Christ, when we give our life to God, it is not ours anymore. We hand it over. And if we have a God, we will treat him as such. He will be our God, and we will be his people, and we submit to what he desires. It's amazing how people will make decisions in life based upon their own comfort instead of building the kingdom of God. The perspective is wrong. It's like, okay, I have the opportunity to build God's kingdom. Wait a minute. How does that affect my life? Okay, I can't do that. No, sorry, Lord. I got stuff that I need to do. And you see, we miss it. We miss the opportunity now to bring God glory with our lives. And before you know it, we grow old and we look back and say, what in the world was I doing? What is that worth in heaven? But we are alive today. Look, you are here breathing right now. You're looking at me. You're staring at me. You see me. We are alive and we are breathing. We have the opportunity to redeem these seconds and minutes now for God's glory. You get a certain amount of time each day, and it's up to you to make the change of perspective and just ask the Lord each day, what do you want from me today? It could be something very simple. You wake up in the morning, you spend some time with the Lord, you're off on your way to work, or you're out with your family, or you're hanging out with somebody at lunch, and the Lord had called you to minister to that one person. Not at church, but actually in your workplace or in that coffee shop or out at the park or wherever it may be, in your family's house. And you just did that one act of service to them. You were faithful to that calling. You did what you were supposed to do. The perspective was right. Other days, you will actually spend all 18 hours that you were awake giving it all to God. The whole thing will belong to him. It's just the perspective needs to change, you understand? All that I have is yours, Lord, and some days he will ask for a minute, other days he will ask for 18 hours. But are you ready to give that to him? Are you ready to focus on the mission and do what you were called to do? What is your mission on this earth? When you step into heaven, what will God ask of you? Did God ask you to plant a church? Did God ask you just to simply raise and love a family and teach them the ways of Jesus? Love on people at your workplace? What has God asked you to do? What is your mission? God is not looking for someone who is simply going to build giant churches, and everybody can't do that. That is not what God is looking for. No. He's just looking for people who are going to be faithful. That's it. Very simple. When we enter in his people, his servants, when we enter into his presence, he will say this phrase, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. Just faithful. Just doing what we were asked to do. You're not called to do anybody else's calling. You're called to do what you're supposed to do. You figure out that mission and get doing it. I've thought more about heaven in my life in these last 5 days than I have in the last 10 years of my life. The reality of death changes everything. It forces me to see how much I desperately need Jesus, how much I desperately need the resurrection. My belief of the resurrection is more real than ever before. Either my brother has raised from the dead into heaven, or there is no resurrection, and I'm not going to see him again. My belief is strengthened 100-fold in the resurrection. The message of the gospel is more real to me than ever before. Either my brother's sins have been forgiven and he is definitely standing in heaven right now before God and enjoying his bliss, or the gospel is not true and there is no afterlife and I won't see him again. We are faced with these truths when we see death. Either it's true or it's not. There is no in-between. There's no messing around here. And this must be true. And I'm strengthened in these beliefs. And I see how desperately the world needs this message and how desperately people in our city need this message. Without Jesus and the resurrection and without the gospel and forgiveness of sins, no one is getting to heaven. Everyone is left here on earth to sin and to destruction. Isn't that the saddest thing ever? You go to a memorial service where no one knows the gospel, no one knows the truth of God, and we're just up there talking about how we hope that there might be something out there, and you know what, this is going to happen, or we think that might happen, but you know what, that's not good enough for me. I need concrete belief, and I need something that makes sense. The gospel makes sense more than ever before. How sick and messed up the world is. Everyone's got sin issues, and we need a Savior to redeem us and make our lives new. And we need a Savior who can actually save us from death, because it's the biggest issue on the earth, and no one knows how to fix it. We got medicines for everything, but nobody can figure out death except for Jesus. He's the only one who actually challenged it head on, and he said these things. He actually said it before he ever died. He said, you destroy this temple, or when this body is destroyed, I will raise it in 3 days. And his disciple, or the people listening, were like, what do you mean? The temple took forever to build. What are you talking about? He says, no, the temple he was speaking about was his own body. He said, when I die, I will rise from the dead. Now, who do you know that would ever say something like that? It's crazy talk. Somebody just stand up in here and like, when I die in about a couple months, I want to let you know, you can show up at the memorial service, I will rise from the dead, and everyone will see me. No one's going to say that, except one, Jesus. No one's getting to heaven without him. The gospel is some really, 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 really good news. Death is coming for all of us. But because of Jesus and his work, we will rise from the dead and be in heaven forever. That's some pretty good news, my friends. Yes, we've all done many things wrong in life. We have sinned greatly before God, and there's no way for you to get this thing figured out and reconciled. You can't help enough old ladies across the street to pay for all your sin. I'm sorry. But there is one who has taken care of the sin issue. His name's Jesus. He did it on the cross. If you believe that message, sin will be forgiven, and you will be brought close to your God, and you will be in heaven forever. And that is a message that we need. Because of the resurrection, my brother, Jake, now gets to see my mother, my mom, who went to heaven when I was 6, and Jake was 4, and Jess was 2. My grandpa went to heaven about 2 months ago. Very hard for my family. And that's just amazing to think, because Jake was there with me at the memorial service, and we were all thinking and saying together, we can't wait to see Pop in heaven. And Jake now does, if the resurrection is true. Most importantly, Jake gets to see his God with his own eyes, Jesus, the one who he has worshiped and heard about since he was a boy. What an amazing reality. Look, if we get to heaven and Jesus isn't there, God isn't there, I don't want to be there. It's the whole reason we want to be there, because he is fullness of joy. He is what your entire body and soul is longing for. It's to be close to your God. That's why everything feels so messed up here on this earth. You're like, no, I know what it is. It's like, if I have more money, I'll erect a little money God, and I'll come close to that, and then that'll make me feel good. No, it won't. It doesn't. Look at these hills. Why are people so unhappy? There's no other God in the universe that can satisfy, and there's nothing else in this world that can satisfy except for you coming close to God, because you were made to be with him. My brother is getting to experience what he was made to do. Be with God. His motor is running on all cylinders right now, at the highest level. Fullness of joy. I can't even imagine. But I look forward to that moment. Everything what we've ever dreamed. Death is like the greatest adventure for the Christian. The Lord is blessed and pleased even with the death of his people because they get to finally be with him forever. It's an amazing idea. But the greatest adventure, when you cross over into eternity, you've come here worshiping in the church each and every week. You come here, you worship this God you've never seen. You submit your life to this Jesus your eyes have never beheld. And in that moment, you step over, and all of a sudden, everything opens up, and you see, and there's a reality, and you taste it, and you recognize that everything you ever lived for is real. What an amazing moment. The picture James points out of life being a mist, a fog, or a vapor shows me that this is not it. This is not what we are living for. This life is not the treasure. By the way many people focus on this life, you would think that this is all they have. But Christians are not placing their treasure in this life. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Our eyes are on heaven. Calvin said this about heaven: we ought to apply our minds to meditation upon the future life so that this world may become cheap to us. I love that. Focus on heaven so much that the life around us becomes cheap. And what I mean is not people are cheap, but the stuff we have doesn't matter that much. And we could give it away very easily. We don't hold on to anything too tightly. This is okay. Whatever you need. We serve people a lot better. We walk a lot lighter around on this earth when our eyes are on heaven. We're not so grounded to the things here on this earth. Oh no, I got a ding in my car. And you just, you know, flip out. Or it's like, who cares? Who cares? It's okay. The house is, it's okay, the house is, it's okay. You know, just think about things a lot differently. Wouldn't it have been nice to hang out in heaven for like, I don't know, 40 years or something, and then come down and live on this earth for like 10? How do you think you would live? You were hanging out in heaven, experiencing that culture, all that's up there. And then you're sent on a mission down to the earth. Hey, we got to go do some work, you know? And you go down here and you can't believe, what are these people doing? Look at them. They're so infatuated with this stuff. They think it's worth a bunch. Or they're so overwhelmed with this idea of earth. And they just want to just be connected to all this stuff. And what's the deal? They're not focused on each other very much. They don't care about each other. They care about themselves. Man, if they could only just get a glimpse of heaven, it would change everything. That's what Jesus did. Hanging out in heaven for all of eternity's past. And he said, I'm going to come down on the earth for 33 years. And then he lives the way it is in heaven. We are called to live that way. Here it is, Colossians 3, verse 1. This is your passage, church. You ready? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Set your minds on the things that are above. Would you say the word above with me, please? Above. Not on the earth. Get your minds and your hearts off of this earth to a certain degree. You know what I'm talking about? Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, we have to drive cars. Yes, we have to pump gas. Yes, we need to put clothes on each day and comb our hair. I don't have to. But yes, we have to do these things. But don't forget where we're going and what this thing is all about. We're on a mission. We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light because he wants us to accomplish something. We're here for a short time, and it's a specific reason, a specific mission. It is to bring God glory and to see people come to know Jesus, see people brought into a relationship with their God. We have been saved from that way of thinking, and we need to show the world a different way. We have been saved to the right way of living and the right way of thinking, and we are to show this to the world, and when they see it, they will say, that kind of resonates with me. I think I might have been made to live like that too. I like the way that you live and you tell them the gospel. Yeah, you've been separated from God by your sin, but when you're brought back close to God, you're going to be purring on all cylinders, my friend, because that's what you were made to do. When the gospel changed you, your mission on earth changed. It changed you from building your kingdom to building God's kingdom. That is the mission. Matthew 5:16. Well, I'm going to read 14. You are the light of the world, church, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That is what we're to be doing. Because my brother is in heaven, it has brought me this laser focus in my mind to see that I am simply here on this earth to accomplish this mission, and then I'm out of here. That's it. And I'm okay with that. God has saved me and made me a part of his rescue mission to save the world from their sins. And I get to go around on this earth with the precious message of salvation, the gospel, and share it with anyone and anyone who will hear. That's what I'm here for. Well, I work in this area. You know, I'm a doctor. Well, that's great. You've been called to share the gospel and love people in your office. Well, I'm a lawyer. Well, you've been called to love people in that area. Well, I work at the grocery store. You have been called to minister and love those people there. Did you know that? That's our mission. That's what we're here for. Don't lose the focus. John 4:34, Jesus said this phrase, and it's absolutely mind-blowing if you think about what he is saying. He says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus says his daily food, what he ate and thought about and processed all day, was to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. And I'm telling you, that should resonate with you. What you think about 3, 4, 10 times a day is that you are to accomplish the work that God has sent you to do. He saved you out of the world to do a mission and a work. You've heard it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. Matthew 28. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you," Jesus said. And you're like, "Lord, we can't do that. We don't know how to accomplish that and do that. We're scared to do that." And Jesus said, "Don't worry. I am with you always to the very end of the age." We were bought with a price, and so glorify God with your body. Give him everything. Yesterday at my brother's memorial service, there's so many people who got up and talked and kept sharing the same thing, and it just blew me away because I saw it in him, but I didn't know if everybody else saw that in him. The one thing that kept getting shared over and over was that he was absolutely loving, kind, and patient, and would do anything for you. He was a servant. At the family party, he was the one always washing the dishes. One guy got up and said that when he came into town, I think he had left his city, or I don't know if he was in jail or what had happened, but he had come over to my brother's house, and he came with nothing. He didn't have anything. And he didn't have any clothes. He didn't have anything that he needed. And so my brother, he takes him into his room and he opens his closet. And he basically says, "I don't have much, but you can have whatever I have." And he gave him his clothes. And when I think through Jake and who he was and who he is, that's just what he always did for people. And then little Duke last night, you know, his son, you know, he can't find his Lego man. So we're running around the backyard trying to find Duke's little Lego man with flashlights late last night, about 10 o'clock. He wants his Lego man. We can't find it. So my brother Jesse says, "Don't worry, Duke. We will buy you a new Lego man." And Jesse pulls out $2 bills. Says, here, buddy, here's some money, you know. And Duke's like, "I got money. I'm going to go buy these, dude, you know, I'm going to go buy a new Lego man." And we're like, "That's right, bud. We're going to get you a new Lego man. Don't worry about it, all right?" Because he had to find that Lego man. It's hilarious. And so he has the $2 in his pocket. This is my brother Jacob's son. He's four years old, about to be five years old. He's got his $2 in his pocket, and the other kids come around later, and he pulls out the dollar. He tries to give it away to the other kids because he wants to bless them. He's already, you know, living out that servant lifestyle that my brother had. It's in his son. It's amazing to see that in his son already. And ironically, after so many people shared stories like that, I didn't have it in my notes at the memorial service yesterday. I did the service. I didn't have it in there, but I don't know if you've seen it, but every single week here at Legacy, I've quoted this passage. "You want to be the greatest in the kingdom," Jesus said, as the disciples were arguing amongst themselves. He said, "You become a servant of all." And what I realized in that moment was that my brother had actually lived out being a servant. And that blew me away more than anything. Thanks, Lorenzo. I appreciate that. It really did. Thank you. It blew me away more than anything to see my little brother live these things out because I'm a pastor and I try to serve and love people. And when you step back, be like, "Josh, you're awesome. You know, thank you for all you do, this and that." And I get it. And I'm very thankful for that. I really am. But when you have a brother like that who's sitting next to you who actually really serves and loves people, that's just who he is. It just dumps from him. He doesn't know how to do anything else. It really gave me great joy as he walks into heaven. And I believe our God said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'd like to tell you a story and then I'm going to close. An old missionary couple had been working in Africa for years. And they were returning to New York City to retire. They had no pension. Their health was broken. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They discovered that they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his big game hunting expeditions. No one paid much attention to them. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage with passengers trying to catch a glimpse of the great man. As the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something is wrong. Why should we have given all of our lives in faithful service for God in Africa and all these many years and have no one care a thing about us? Here this man comes back from a hunting trip and everyone makes much over him, but no one cares about us." His wife said to him, "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way." And he says, "I can't help it. It doesn't seem right." When the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president, music playing. The mayor and everybody else was there. The papers were full of the president's arrival, but no one noticed the missionary couple. They slipped off the ship and found a cheap flat on the east side, hoping the next day to see what they could find to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Why don't you go into your bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" A short time later, he came out from the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. His wife asked, "Dear, what happened?" He said, "The Lord settled it with me. I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But son, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. The president may be home, but you're not home yet. And when you get home, there will be thousands, tens of thousands of angels praising Almighty God because he has saved and redeemed you.'" And I'm telling you here today, the most amazing thing that will happen when we get to heaven is this quote that I love is, when we get there, we will be surprised who is there. We will also be surprised at who is not there. And most above all, we will be surprised that we are there, that we get to be there, that we made it, that God has saved us. "Because I will see my brother soon, I see clearly that I have a simple mission to accomplish of loving God and loving people here on this earth, sharing the gospel, seeing people brought close to God, and then I'm out of here. I see that this is the same calling for our church. We are here for just a short time. We are here to live for God's glory, accomplish the mission of sharing the gospel with others so they can know God, accomplish the mission of trying to redeem this city for his glory, and then we're out of here." It's crazy. What am I doing here in Studio City? How did we get here? And we're having church. It just more defines the mission very clearly for me. I know why we're here. We're going to come here on Sundays and worship. We're going to encourage each other to go back into the world and love and serve people, bring God glory in ministering the gospel to them. We're going to keep doing that every Sunday. We're going to love our families. We're going to bring them close to Jesus. And that's it. And then we're going to be in heaven. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to have Bible study with you guys in heaven. I'm going to tell the Lord, "Jesus, will you teach this one?" Right? Let our minds and eyes be refocused on heaven and the reason we are here. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Who are you living for? Do you know you'll be in heaven when you die?